Oh, welcome. You may have noticed a small change in the music. This is because this is not a normal Give Football Show podcast. That comes tomorrow. Tonight, this is an English Football League playoff special. Joining me, hopefully to carry the show, is David Bevan from the 72 Football.
Evening.
And I've got John Verrill, a Peterborough fan and a writer and blogger from In Bed with Maradona and The Free Row, and of course Dave Site, the 72. Evening, John.
Hiya.
So, I think we've all just watched Reading beat Cardiff 3-0. That set up the first playoff final. Reading will take on Swansea. We'll start with tonight's game. David, give us your thoughts on the result tonight.
Kind of predictable, really. If you follow Cardiff's fortunes over the last few years, they have a kind of tendency to mess things up just when it looks like it's all going to go right for them. And at least their fans got a little bit of a hint of what was to come towards the end of the season, because they finished the season quite poorly, dropping off and letting Norwich kind of sneak ahead for the last automatic spot. So there was a bit of negativity around their approach to this tie. But really, you've got to give credit to Reading, because I think a lot of the focus will be on Cardiff, and Reading will be forgotten among the national media. You've got to look at it and say that the playoff spots looked like they were all tied up for quite a long time. Yeah. It looked like Leeds were going to get in there. Leicester had a chance. There were one or two other teams kind of buzzing around, but Reading stormed through. And it looked for a second like they'd peaked too early in the season, and they were just dropping off, made the playoffs, and you thought, are they going to carry this momentum into the playoffs, or, you know, have they peaked too early? But they've played really, really well. I'm massively impressed with their defence tonight, because I thought Cardiff actually played well. They lost 3-0 at home, but they actually played quite well, particularly in the first half, and went in 2-0 down just because of individual mistakes, really. And it showed that these playoff games, they're always tight and they always hinge on the little things.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Reading's run, and I think in all competitions they've only lost 2 in 19, which is a tremendous run. Obviously a few draws as well, but quite a lot of victories. John, what did you think of Cardiff's performance? I mean, we just said off air, they didn't really have much fight in them, did they?
No, I think they started well. They had Reading pinned back, and then Shane Long's opener really zapped all the life out of them. It seemed like a hammer blow. And they'd never really reacted, and then obviously Kane and deciding to give away a penalty is ridiculous, but as you think in there, it is just a needless foul. And then when Long scored, they never really looked like coming back, and we saw last night Forrest really, really pushed Swansea all the way for the second half and showed the desire to get back into it, but Cardiff never really showed that, I don't think.
No, it's that old cliche that at 2-0 you're never out of it, one goal, and you get the home fans involved and kind of...
Yeah. Exactly, even if it came in the 85th minute, you have a chance.
Yep.
Forest showed last night they could easily have got a draw out of that game when Angel scored in the 80th minute, so we've got to keep going. But I thought Dave Jones' tactical stuff didn't really work. I mean, Kumas coming on, and Parkin especially, I thought it encouraged long ball.
Yeah.
And as soon as they did that, I didn't really think they got the ball out wide, which was working quite well for them. I mean, obviously they were behind, but they were threatening. Emmanuel Thomas had a couple of good chances, didn't he?
I think it was the home fans would be disappointed. David, over the two legs, did the best team come through to the final?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think largely you can discount the first leg because it was a terrible game. Neither team really impressed, and it was all about what was going to happen tonight. And although Cardiff started well, Reading were the better team over the 90 minutes, simply because they didn't make mistakes. And that's what it comes down to in these games sometimes. I think the major difference for me between last season's Cardiff team, which went a lot closer, and had Joe Bothroyd not been injured in the final, probably would have won that game against Blackpool. The major difference is the way Jones has used Peter Whittingham this season. Last season scored something like 26 goals and always looked to danger, and every time the ball was in the box you could rely on him kind of coming in off the left wing and getting on the end of things. And this season, he seems to they've used him a lot deeper. And I just thought it was a bit of a shame that he didn't kind of revert to what was so successful with him last season tonight.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. We move on to Swansea, the other finalists. John or David, what do you think of Swansea's approach to just football in general? They really try and pass it round, which sometimes in the Championship can be a bit of a sparse thing. It's a lot of tough challenges and kind of high balls sometimes, but it's a really kind of fresh approach. John, what do you think of Swansea's football?
They seem superb, but we don't know. They're up in the back as well. I mean, De Vries, I think on Sky, there was only trained in the U team, the striker. So, and it really shows. They encourage him to get the ball out wide. And then Dyer and Sinclair on the wing, because the explosion of pace going forward, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then I think what they lacked before was a striker, just a cutting edge. Barini coming in and Luke Moore have really given the firepower to go on and score some goals and push them up the league, really.
Yeah. David, what's your thoughts on Swansea?
I think John's hit the nail on the head. I think that they've always had this kind of reputation, but they've actually, although they've played an almost identical formation for the last 3 years, they've actually changed like their approach quite a lot. Last season they were very defensive, and this season they've kind of struck the right balance between playing that possession football but actually carrying a threat as well. And they're the team that have impressed me most over the past, say, 2 or 3 years in the Championship, because every time you see them, they just offer something a little bit different to the rest of the teams. You know, you can guarantee that it's going to be an interesting game with them, because quite often you have to adapt your tactics to deal with how they play. And that always makes for a more interesting kind of spectacle. You could see tonight, the Cardiff-Reading game, you had sort of two teams going for a 4-4-2, and you know, it was end to end, but it wasn't fascinating. But
yeah.
The Swansea Forest game last night was just absolutely fantastic, the way that Billy Davis had to try and deal with Swansea's possession football. And I've just got a huge amount of admiration for Swansea and particularly Brendan Rodgers at the moment.
Yeah, he's done a fantastic job, hasn't he? Obviously facing one of his old sides, Reading, in the final. David, how do you see the final playing out? The Swansea start favourites?
I think Swansea do start favourites. I think the fact that they finished third in the table, the fact that they saw off a Forest team that put up a real fight. Mm. And I think because they reached the final first, there are going to be a lot of people who see that as kind of that they'll have a little bit more time to prepare, and they can sort of, you know, look at their opponents having been able to relax for a day and just, you know, sort of soak it up a little bit. I think it's 50-50. It's just on the day what happens. But if there's any team that could deal with Swansea's approach, going by the last few times I've seen them, then it is Reading. They've got quite a compact back four, quite an experienced back four, and they're fantastic on the break. I think that they'll miss Jimmy Kebbe at Wembley more than they did against Cardiff, because his sort of pace in that huge pitch of Wembley would have been fantastic to utilise. But no, I think it's 50-50, and I've given up trying to predict things in the Championship, to be honest.
John, does Swansea have a slight edge? Because obviously Brendan Rodgers will still know most of this Reading team, and he's got maybe a bit of inside information. Will that give them, because Dave's saying 50-50, will that maybe give them a slight edge?
Perhaps, but when you come down to a playoff final, it is just a 50-50 chance. It really is. I know it's a cliche, but it's such a big game, high pressure. It's whoever deals with it the best. I think it'll be interesting to see how the midfield lines up, because central midfield, Reading's quite combative. I mean, Karachan and Ledgerwood are really sort of hard-working central midfielders, and they like to break the play up. And Karachan's very good in the ball, and so is Ledgerwood. I mean, I think it's interesting now that's come from QPR, and a lot of the QPR fans, so he didn't really do a lot there, but I think he's slotted in really well at Reading, and really adapted to their style well. I think that's where they could perhaps sort of break up Swansea's passing approach, because I think when Forrest decided to pressure Swansea a bit more, they struggled a bit more to keep the ball short passing and hurried them. But I think that's where it will be won.
Now, Dave's not giving us a prediction. John, have you got any predictions for us? How the final's going to come out?
It's so hard to call. I would say Swansea starts the favourites. I'm really impressed with what I've seen from Swansea this season.
Yeah, I think Swansea will win it as well. Dave, are you going to stay on the fence or?
I don't know.
On that indecisive note, we'll move on to the League One playoffs. We'll just play the first legs. Huddersfield play Bournemouth. That's one each after goals from Coban and McDermott. John, I'll start with you. How do you, I know your team's in the other game, we'll get to that, but how do you see this game going? If Peterborough come through, who would you like to see in the final?
Well, personally, I'd prefer Bournemouth. If you look at their squad, I think it's the weakest of all the teams in the playoffs. I know they obviously start as underdogs, and they really have some great team character. Just the amount of things they've had to deal with in recent seasons, just unbelievable where they are today. So they've got to be credited for that, but Huddersfield have got some real quality in their side, so if you've got to pick one team, it's got to be Bournemouth, I think.
Yeah, so you'd want to avoid Huddersfield then. They've got some really good players. I've seen them, I've been down a few times. I live not far from the Gal Farm. Benika Fobi, he's really coming on to a really strong game now. Still only 18, but he's got, what, 5 goals now for them.
They have got some excellent players. I mean, up front, they've got some Rhodes, Novak, and a Fobi, like you mentioned, and then you've got Arfield and midfield has been excellent. Jovie Johnson, and then add to that Peter Clark at the back and Kevin Kilbane with Premiership experience. They really have got some quality. They've spent big this season.
When you look at their midfield, it's you could say it's maybe a Championship midfield. Jovie Johnson, Kevin Kilbane. I mean, Arfield's good enough. Damien Johnson as well. It's not a weak midfield at all, is it?
No, certainly. I think they really do have an excellent squad. I'd say. In fact, I'd go as far as saying they've got a Championship squad. I really think they could have competed this season in the Championship. Yeah. But because of the strength of Brighton and Southampton, have been incredible this season, really. That's been the difference.
Yeah. David, how do you see the Huddersfield-Bournemouth game going? Who do you think will go through to the final?
I think Huddersfield will go through. But again, I think it will be tight. I think Bournemouth are the team that have surprised me probably most out of all the games that I've seen in the first legs, just because Huddersfield looked by far the better team in the first half to me, or the first sort of half an hour certainly in the first leg. And then Bournemouth played really, really well in the second half, and from a game where you couldn't see how they were going to get back into it, they actually deserved at least a kind of draw out of the first leg. So I'm kind of wary of making these predictions, but
yeah, absolutely useless.
This is a recurring theme.
Get off the fence.
If you'd have followed how my predictions have gone this season, you would know exactly why I'm so wary of making them. But I would say maybe 2-1 Huddersfield, and I think that they obviously over the season they deserve to finish. In the final, I think they ended up something like 16 points above Bournemouth in the league, something like that. So, based on that, they deserve to get it. As John said, they were really unlucky to come up against two sort of dominant teams in Brighton and Southampton during the league season.
Just to put a bit of weight behind David's predictions, on the Give Football Show site, we do have a prediction league, which David currently sits bottom of. you can win a total of 30 points each week, and David, when he guessed that, he got 2 points. So put all your money on Bournemouth, I think, on this one.
I don't know if John spotted this, but about 30 seconds before the second half of the Peterborough game kicked off in the first leg, I said that Peterborough's defence had looked strangely solid during the first half. Yeah. Literally within 15 minutes, they conceded 3 of the worst goals you'll ever see. Yeah. It's just, there were all these people queuing up on Twitter just like, That is the worst jinx I've ever seen.
See, yeah, so anything that Dave says, do the complete opposite and you'll be fine. John, so what about your team's chances then? As David said, lost three goals in, what, 9 minutes? The game finished 3-2. But you're at home. How do you see your chances?
Who knows? It depends on which side of us turns up. We are such a different side going forward to defensively. Going forward, we're superb. Defensively, we're woeful. And I think they've shown in the record. But I cannot see us keeping a clean sheet, which means we have to score twice just to take extra time, which is obviously a massive ask against the Milton Keynes side with a very good defence. McKenzie and Lewington are both superb at this level and very, very difficult to break down. So it's going to be a real, real tough ask for us, I think.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I'm naturally pessimistic. I do think I've seen enough of Posh to expect the worst. But I think we'll win at home. But whether we'll, I'm not sure we have the mental strength to go and win it an extra time.
I'm not going to steal your info off you. John did mention before the show that Joe Lewis is out. Paul Jones, the ex-Exeter keeper, will play. He's only started one game this season, hasn't he, John? And it wasn't the best game for him, was it?
It wasn't. Neither was his sub appearance against MK. Came on at half time, conceded 3 goals within 9 minutes. Not brilliant. But I think Lewis is everyone's seen. Everyone who's had any interest in the Football League this season has seen his bad points. I mean, he is very error prone and he can lose you a match, but conversely, he can win you a game. He is a fantastic shot stopper and he has kept us in games at times this season. And I know a lot of fans are sort of, the England call up has increased his expectations
for
Peterborough fans, and they seem, a lot of the fan base are quite critical and want him out, think we should cash in on him. But he is a talented keeper, and if someone can nurture that and bring him on, he can be a top goalkeeper. So he's going to be a blow to lose him, definitely.
So a little bit of stats for you. It might make you feel better, John. You've only lost one game at home in the last 9, and Milton Keynes, Dons away, they've won 2 and lost 2 the last 4 games. So kind of bits for a bit of optimism, maybe.
Yeah, we've only won 3 of our last 11 as well, so.
you outstatted me. David, have you got a bit more optimism for Peterborough's chances? Or are you just stuck firmly on that fence as usual?
No, I think Peterborough will win.
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
Don't say that.
I'm going on Bet365 now. That's it. 20 quid on MK Dons.
No, I do think Peterborough will win, but I've seen Peterborough, I think, 4 times this season, and you just never know quite what you're going to get with them. I saw a 4-4 against Southampton, well, apart from goals, I suppose. But the league fixture at Milton Keynes earlier in the season, it was probably the best 45 minutes of attacking football, the first half, I've seen from any team this season. Given that I watch Barcelona every week without... That will tell you exactly how impressive it was. I mean, the movement of the front players and their complete commitment to attack, it must be, I mean, horrible to watch sometimes when you just think, right, just kind of let's stick at this and stop going forward. But they're absolutely just brilliant to watch. And any sort of football fan at all, even if you know you're not fussed about the Football League or League One or anything like that, you just have to watch Peterborough, especially at home on Thursday night for the neutral, maybe not for John, but for the neutral, it'll just be an entertaining game.
Yeah, I mean, I watched parts of the first leg, and at times it looked like you were playing 4 up front, John. How do you usually set up in the games? It looked to me there was just like a line of 4 attackers just going for it.
For that game, Ferguson picked a particularly attacking lineup. I mean, we had Tomlin, who played most of the season up front. He was dropped back into a central midfield position. We normally play with a diamond, so we have Grant McCann sitting at the base, and he tends to dictate play. And then we have, obviously, Boyd on the tip of the diamond, and then Mikael Smith, and, like I say, generally Tomlin, but Ferguson started with Mendes Lang.
Yeah.
He's a good player on loan from Wolves. He's quick, but he's very raw at the minute. He's still got a lot to learn. So, but he's scored quite a few goals recently, so it would have been hard to drop him. But yeah, I mean, like David was saying, sometimes we are unbelievable to watch going forward. I mean, Tomlin and Boyd's movement is incredible, and then having Mikael Smith running off them is deadly. But if we could have backed up with a solid defence, I think we would have won the league, but that's been our problem all season.
For me, I'm quite shocked that MK Dons got to the playoffs. I saw them play at Huddersfield and they got beat 4-1, I think it was, and they were absolutely terrible. So when I saw them get in the playoffs, I was like, so to see them come back and beat Peterborough 3-2, I was shocked. I'm going for a Peterborough Huddersfield final, with it, unfortunately for you, John Huddersfield, to win.
Fair enough.
Yeah. That's nice, isn't it? Yeah, well, invite you onto a podcast and then slag off your team.
Yeah, that's what I do. I do it to Ethan, I do it to you.
That's true.
David, how do you see that? Do you see two games going? Do you see you going for a Peterborough Huddersfield final or something different?
No, I think I'll go for a Peterborough Huddersfield final as well. So lump all your money on
board. MK Dons won. who would you see winning in the final then if that's what happens?
Tricky one. I'm going back to the big pitch at Wembley and stuff. I can see that suiting Peterborough because the movement of their front players it seems more difficult to be compact at Wembley in terms of that. You know, if you're setting up your defence with a very narrow kind of approach, it seems more difficult to do that. So, you know, maybe Peterborough would do it, but I have a kind of strange image of Ferguson. Darren Ferguson is a bit of a bottler, which I don't know quite what it's based on, because they, you know, they got two consecutive promotions, and you know, he's done well to get them where they are, because it wasn't set in stone that they were going to make the playoffs at all. Yeah. But I'm going to stick with Peterborough.
John, before we move on, if your team does get through to the final, it's played at Old Trafford. Will Ferguson Jr. thrive at his dad's ground, or is that maybe adding a bit more pressure onto him as well?
Oh, I'm not sure it adds any pressure, really. I think it's just a different ground to play football on, really.
Yeah.
Well, not him personally playing football, but I don't think that will really have any effect. Obviously, it's a good omen to have the home of the Fergusons, really.
Yeah.
But the question is, can we make it?
I just have to say that error, that I've made that error about 25 times now. I keep forgetting the finals at Old Trafford. People keep pointing it out to me and I'm just crashing on regardless. Of course it's at Old Trafford.
It's called research, David, research.
Yeah.
I know usually it's frowned upon on good football shows, but you know, sometimes you've got to do your research.
I'm the Ethan of this pod.
We'll move on to Friday's games. You've got Shrewsbury Town versus Torquay United and Accrington Stanley versus Stevenage. Torquay and Stevenage are both 2-0 up. David, how do you see these games going? Is there any way back for Shrewsbury and Accrington, or is it a Torquay Stevenage final?
I watched the Torquay game and Shrewsbury just absolutely had a shocker, to be honest. Torquay, I thought, deserved to win, and deserved to win by the margin that they managed in the end, if not more. And based on that, because I don't see an awful lot of League Two, I would say that they would probably hang on. I've heard a lot of good things about Accrington. There was an excellent blog that Paul Fletcher did on the BBC about them, about John Coleman's approach there. So based on that, which again is pretty flimsy evidence, maybe they might have more of a chance, but I didn't see the Stevenage game. Based on the Torquay game, though, I was really impressed with them, and I think Paul Buckle is an excellent young manager, and I think Torquay will make it. The other two, not sure.
Excellent. John, what's your thoughts on the two remaining games? Do you see any comebacks, or is it pretty much nailed on?
I think Torquay will probably hold on, but Accrington's home record's really impressive. It's quite an interesting comparison in style in that game. Stevenage is obviously quite a direct side, look to get the ball up to the front and quickly, whereas Accrington like to keep the ball down and play some football, so that'll be quite interesting.
So if it's a Torquay Stevenage final, what John, who are you going for to make it up to League One?
Torquay. I think Torquay's just had a little bit more about them than Stevenage.
David?
Well, in the Old Trafford final,
you sure
played in Manchester at Old Trafford.
Yep.
I'll stick with Torquay. I was impressed with them. They've done really well this season, and they seem to have a lot of belief about them. The only spanner in the works is that I read earlier some comments that Paul Buckle made about possibly getting linked with the Bristol Rovers job. He didn't seem to rule it out completely, possibly, but
it's not the time, is it?
It's not really the time at the moment, no. So assuming that was nothing, I did sort of skim read something about that, but assuming that that's nothing, then I'll stick with Torquay.
Now, going to put a little question on both of you that wasn't planned. Is there any player that stood out for either of you in the playoffs so far that maybe you weren't expecting? Someone who's kind of stood up to the task and led his team? Anyone, David?
I would say, I think the best player I've seen over the sort of, I've seen 7 playoff games so far, and the most impressive player I've seen is probably...
I like how you kind of wait, talking it out slowly so you can think in your head at the same time. I like that.
I was hoping that you were going to interrupt with a longer sentence, actually. I would say the most impressive player I've seen, it's a bit obvious, but probably Shane Long tonight, actually.
Okay.
I think just in terms of you can play well, like Cardiff did in the first half, and you can have loads of chances like Forrest did in the second half last night. But if you want someone to just keep a cool head and just put the chances away, he's kind of stepped up. And I mean, it shouldn't be a surprise, I suppose, given his record in front of goal this season. But I think I'll stick with Shane Long. I thought he was fantastic tonight.
That was a good finish tonight. Kind of, he didn't have long to think about it.
No,
and that's what you want. That's what you want from your strike in the playoffs. You want kind of half chance goal. That's what makes a difference. Yeah.
Yeah, and the penalty as well. I mean, it's a high pressure situation, and he took it fantastically well.
Definitely, John. You had a bit more time to think about this now because Dave stalled for about 10 minutes. So I want a good answer from you. Who's stood out for you so far?
Yeah, I'd agree with Shane Long, but I thought Nathan Dyer was really impressive in the first leg. Swansea against Forest, I thought he was really, really busy up and down the right flank. So I'd go with him. I also thought, as I touched on earlier, Legit Woods and Carrichan were excellent for Reading tonight.
excellent answers. Gentlemen, thank you for being on. Dave, thank you for setting this up with a playoff special. John, go ahead first of all and plug your website and kind of where you write and your Twitter account and that so people can follow you.
For those that want to have a read about Peterborough's playoff chances, it's www.posh.footballblog.co.uk. So.
And then your Twitter name? Is it?
It's at John Verrill.
That's VERRALL.
Yeah, that's right.
David, do you want to go ahead and plug your wonderful website?
Yeah, it's the72.com, all in letters, and then the72football on Twitter. Got as much playoff stuff as possible. Next week there'll be loads of different bloggers from different clubs talking about their favourite playoff games from years gone by. So that'll be quite interesting to read, hopefully. And we'll have loads of stuff about the finals as well, because we've got plenty of time to prepare for that.
I don't think you've been to bed yet, Dave. Have you, since the playoffs started?
No, I think this is about the first time that I've stopped writing anything for more than about 10 minutes.
This is the first human,
or editing something.
The first human interaction you've had that's not been on Twitter, I think, or on a blog.
Yeah, exactly. and as you can see, it's not gone well.
I think it's gone very well. So we'll draw a line under it there, gentlemen. Thank you for being on.
Thank you.
No problem. And hopefully we'll do this Football League business again at some point, David.
I hope so, yeah. Hopefully it'll become a regular thing.
Excellent. Until next time, thank you everyone for listening. And it's a goodbye from me and Dave and John.
Bye.
Bye.